Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's been 2 days since American military helicopters bombed the border of Syria, and officials are still only speaking under conditions of anonymity about this raid. The cross-border attack by special forces killed the head of a key al-Qaeda network, along with 8 civilians. That's the report we're hearing. Joining us now from the studios of KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma, is Joshua Landis, co-director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Joshua, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Now, this story is interesting on a number of levels. First of all, the target. Who is this al-Qaeda network person, and how significant in terms of operational importance does he have in funneling people across the border?
Well, his code name is evidently Abu Hadiya, but he's an Iraqi. He's in his 20s. He's been doing this for some time. The border between Syria and Iraq is about 300 and some odd miles. It goes through very tough territory, desert, and then other villages, farming villages. About 25-30% of the Syrian population in that area is below the poverty line, makes about $2 or less a day. So this is a very difficult territory. It's a tribal territory with the tribes on both sides of the line. It's a smuggler's paradise. It has been for a long time. This is a top Iraqi, we're told, a top Iraqi smuggler who had been helping fighters get across the line. Money, other things go back and forth. Well, and Syria had not been cooperating the way the Americans wanted.
And which raises the issue of the timing of this attack, a question that was raised on the BBC's Today program from Richard Pearl, who's a former member of the Defense Policy Advisory Board. Take a listen to this, Joshua.
The administration should have been pursuing a policy like this a long time ago. A large number of people have been killed as a result of the freedom with which foreign fighters have crossed the border from Syria into Iraq.
Josh Landis, is Richard Pearl correct there? And does the restraint on the part of the U.S. Forces regarding the Syrian border, is it different than, say, cross-border attacks in Pakistan, which seem to be a fairly regular occurrence?
Well, you know, there's been a big policy struggle on how to deal with Iraq's neighbors, and Syria has been a prime case. There are people like Richard Pearl and others, even John McCain, who called early on that, you know, Iraq was the first country, and then it would have to be Syria and Iran that America conquered or changed governments in. And so there was a big camp in America that wanted to go into Syria or to change the government in Syria immediately after the Iraq adventure. So this, you know, stuck us. And Powell and these other people said, no, we shouldn't be going after Syria. We should be having good relations with Syria because we need to fix Iraq first.
Well, certainly the Syrians' reaction to this raid suggests that it is the McCain policy that at least they believe is in force here. Take a listen to Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualem speaking today.
We don't want to enter in a war with the United States. It's enough wars they have in the world, isn't it? Enough crisis they got. And they put on the shoulder of the world the financial crisis, the hunger crisis, the expanding terrorism. It is enough for them. I am saying we are a civilized country. We want explanation, we want investigation for this aggression. If they said they are after some al-Qaeda elements, they must respect the public opinion and present their proofs.
That's Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualem today speaking about the U.S. raid on Sunday. Does the Syrian Foreign Ministry have a case here, Joshua?
Of course they have a case. And, you know, Syria has played tough on this issue. And in 2007, Secretary of State Rice and Mualem met at Sharm el-Sheikh in May 2007. They had a big debate over intelligence sharing. The U.S. and Syria had broken off their intelligence sharing in 2005. Syria wanted to reinstate it, and many Americans did too in 2007. Rice asked Syria to send two generals to Damascus to rekindle this sharing. Mualem said, okay, we are eager to work on this border issue, but you have to resend an ambassador back here. America had pulled out as ambassador after the killing of of Rafiq al-Hariri in Lebanon, prime minister.
Sure.
They accused Syria of doing this. So relations had gone from bad to worse. There was an attempt to fix this up. Syria said, you've got to resend your ambassador. We want intelligence sharing, but you have to recognize our help to you across this border. This was too much for the United States to do, and it never happened. So this is the background to this. You know, do you have good relations with Syria and try to get them to do this through intelligence sharing, or should you, in the Pearl sense, you know, just bomb them and force them to comply with you?
So this is a slipping back from a situation that was, as you say, was already a stalemate. Now, there are reports that this operation is something that came off the table of the Joint Chiefs, who are attempting to preempt a new administration where presumably all tactical operations will be reviewed. They wanted to get this done before the election. Is that your view here?
You know, I don't know how and where this went through, but obviously, the election has some bearing on this because first of all, the Syrians are fed up with George Bush. There's been a series of events that have just made things go from bad to worse. And so they're not cooperating right now. And the military, the boots on the ground in Iraq, are fed up with the situation. And they don't care about what the politics are. But I'm sure they were looking at that timeline and saying national elections are going to happen. One can only presume that after the elections, the Bush administration will have to, you know, out of protocol, politeness, whatever you want to call it, touch base with whoever the new president is going to be about invading a country in which we're not in war.
Well, a confluence of politics and regional policy. Joshua Landis, thanks for setting it in context for us. Joshua Landis is co-director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He spoke with us from the studios of KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma.